I'm a soldier bound for glory. I'm a soldier going home. Come and hear me tell my story. Though to love the Savior come, oh, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. Oh, I love Jesus. He's my Savior. Jesus smiles and loves me too. I will tell you what induced me in this glorious fight to start. It was the Savior's love and kindness came to me and won my heart. People say,
maybe during church or maybe tonight on the new CD. And this one here is I'll Not Turn My Back on Him Now. All right, we're a little rusty on some of these. So we try to practice them.
Yeah.
got the money for that new mandolin. And we sure appreciate that. He's been playing it out, playing it, playing it, playing it. And so we're very thankful for that. Lord's been good to us. Amen. Every instrument we have has been given to us. And we started out with some old stuff. And of course, I had a guitar that Mark plays, that burgundy guitar that I used to play. And the Lord just started giving us different things. He gave me this Martin. I mean, it's amazing. And I prayed and wanted Martin, couldn't afford to buy one. And I went to a friend of mine's church, and he'd been wanting me to come. As soon as we got there, he handed me a Martin, gave me this. Gave Dan, my little man Jay down there, he's got a Martin. Same preacher, gave him that one. And it's a junior Martin. And then we was in another place, and Mark had an older banjo. He's got his old one for sale. I think he's got it with him. And a guy walked up to me and said, I want to give Mark that banjo. I said, man, that costs too much. You don't want to give him that. He goes, no, the Lord told me to. And that's one of the best banjos you can play, amen, Gibson Master Tone. And then, of course, this church gave Daniel that, and Luke's got a better bass than he's got there. He's even given two basses. He's got another one. It's real nice. He's got a little issue with some, we got to put it in the shop. But, I mean, the Lord's been good to us. And you serve the Lord, He'll take care of you, amen. And we ain't rich by no means as far as money-wise, but we're very rich in the blessings of God. So we're thankful for that. All right, let's do Who Do You Think? Who Do You Think?
But you. the dying feet, dare to believe he saw grace in the Savior's eyes. And there upon Mount Calvary, the thief prayed, Lord, remember me. And with new life he bowed his head and died. And somewhere in glory, down the streets of gold, so that everybody in heaven gets told how Jesus took his place, and how amazing grace saved an old sinner man. Now he's somewhere in glory land, when the saved are laid to rest, and the preacher's done his best to comfort those of us who gathered round. And even though we know they died, we'll let those troubled tears be dried, and keep this thought until the trumpet sounds, that somewhere in glory land, there's a man running up and down the streets of gold, so that everybody in heaven gets told how Jesus took his place, and how amazing grace saved an old sinner man. Now he's somewhere in glory land, somewhere in glory land. There's a man running up and down the streets of gold, so that everybody in heaven gets told how Jesus took his place, and how amazing grace saved an old sinner man. Now he's somewhere in glory land.
Blessing to serve the Lord. Amen. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Nothing.
God has led me here to defeat him, so don't
My name is Grace Marie. I'm 20 years old. I was saved at the age of 4 and a half, July 25th, 1999, in Corning, New York. It was a Sunday afternoon. Brother Jack Parcherin had preached that morning on salvation. And I remember we left early because we had to get ready to go to a restaurant. My mom had 3 kids to get ready. So we went home, and I just remember I just felt under conviction. The week before, I'd done something terrible for a four-year-old, I guess. It was my first realization of sin, and I'd done wrong, and I was going to hell trying to get saved. And I remember telling Mom, I want to get saved. And she said, well, you have to wait for your dad to get home, because he told me to wait till he got there if you want to get saved. So I remember waiting for what seemed like hours and sitting right in front of the door, like, when is Dad going to get here? When is Dad going to get here? And when he got home, I just told him, I want to get saved. He took me to the bedroom, he opened the Bible, and he showed me the plan of salvation, and I asked Jesus to come to my heart and save me. And I've been singing now since I was about 3 and a half or 4, and I've loved every minute of it, and I just, no regret.
My name is Luke Kendrick, and I was saved at 9 years old in 2005 in Pensacola, Florida. And the Lord started dealing with me the Wednesday night before, and I struggled with it until Friday night. And Friday night I got it settled, and Daddy showed me the way in the Bible. And the Lord's been so good to us, and I just want to thank Him so much for everything He's done.
All right, amen. Now, some of these songs that we have on this CD, there's a few that have music to them. Like, I'm a Soldier. It has like a march drum to it. We don't carry those with us. And so we sing that one a cappella. And then this one here, What a Lovely Name, we've always sang it a cappella, but when we went to the studio, they put music with it. And so these are the two songs that have music with them. But we don't play the music on those. We let them sing a cappella. So this one's entitled What a Lovely Name.
There's a name above all others, wonderful to hear, bringing hope and cheer. It's the lovely name of Jesus, evermore the same. What a lovely name.
Again, in just a minute, but I wanted to just share something with you. It's kind of on my heart. Open your Bibles to 3 John. Just want to read a few verses to you. Mute our mics. Mute them. 3 John, and then we're going to turn to Psalms. Psalms 127 in a moment. Just a few things, and then let us sing a couple more songs. 3 John 1, verse 4. The Bible said this, and I understand who John's talking to. We're going to relate it to the children. And I know he's talking about those that have been saved, or he's led to the Lord, or those that he's ministered to. But the Bible says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I believe with all my heart that one of the worst things that a parent can hear is that their children don't serve the Lord. I believe that's one of the worst things. You say, I think it'd be awful if they got killed. I think it'd be better that they died and went to heaven serving the Lord than that they live this earth not serving the Lord. And I believe that one of the greatest things that a mom and dad can have is that their children serve the Lord. And if there's a goal that I have as a parent, amen, I want my children to serve the Lord. You know, I got a 20-year-old, 19-year-old, and 17-year-old, three oldest. Then jumps down to Daniel, who's 14. And then, of course, Emily and Jay, 12 and 10. But, you know, I'm thankful. I'm not bragging, but I'm thankful, preacher, that I got a 20-year-old and a 19-year-old still serving the Lord. And there's a lot of young people today, teenagers, and this is no glory to me, it's the glory to us to God. There's a lot of young people today that they just don't care. They're not serving the Lord. Listen, I don't know how many teenagers are in here this morning, how many young people are here, maybe young adults. You know, the best gift you can give your parents is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about preacher this morning and Brother Ben and his wife, them going back to Madagascar. You know, it's a great thing that somebody has given their life to serve the Lord, whether it be here or there, wherever it is. But you say, well, that must be awful, man, to watch your children leave. You know what? There's probably a sadness that they're going to miss their grandchildren, miss their son or their daughter. But can I say to you, there's no doubt a joy in their heart to know that their children are serving the Lord. And if there's anything you can do for your mom and dad, young people, serve Jesus Christ. You listen to me. Now hear me now, amen. All that mess out there in the world ain't worth it. You hear me? At 19 years old, look here, look up here, fellas. At 19 years old, I got saved. Now I'm not trying to be rude or mean, but the problem with most young people is you're just lost on their way to hell. I'm not saying all of you are, but there's many that are. And at 19 years old, the reason I didn't care anything about serving God, y'all hearing me? The reason I didn't care anything about serving God when I was 19 or 18 or 17 is because I was lost. I wasn't saved. When I got saved, something changed on the inside of me. Amen? And my mom and dad was not the greatest Christians. I mean, they kept me in church, but, you know, the separation wasn't there. I didn't have the right music, the right dress, all that stuff. You know, I didn't have all that. But when I got saved, all of a sudden, something on the inside of me said, hey, you need to change this. You need to change this, you know. And now here I am, 43, believe it or not. I know I look like I'm 29, but I'm 43. I got 6 children and my wife. We get to travel the country and serve the Lord. I'm not regretful. I don't go to bed at night saying, I wish I hadn't done that. You know what I mean? I'm happy serving the Lord. Hey, look at some of the people that are not serving the Lord. Is that life you want? Divorce, heartache, trouble, prison, jail, drugs, fornication, adultery, children out of wedlock. Is that happiness? There's no greater joy than to know that your children serve the Lord. Amen. Turn over to Psalms 127. I want you to look at this. Psalms 127. Look at verses. Let's look at verses 3-5. The Bible said in verse number 3, it says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with enemies in the gate. Now, I want to say to you this morning, I want to say this, just there's a lot could be said through these verses, but I believe that the Bible says children are heritage of the Lord, like it says, and I believe they are a reward. And so I'm thankful for the reward that God's given me. Amen. He's given some one or two rewards as far as the children, maybe 7 or 8 or 10. We know some that's got more than that. We have 6, you know, and so we're thankful for the reward that God has given us. And yes, I am happy, you know, that what God's given me and God's done for me. You say, ain't it hard? No, it's a blessing. Amen. It's a great joy to be able to raise them children for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, hear me, Mom and Dad. Here's what the Bible said. It said, children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb, it's a reward from God, all right? Arrows, they said, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. In other words, we're supposed to train them, prepare them, amen, to stand strong for the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they're artillery, if you would. Amen. They're a mighty artillery. They're arrows in the hand of a mighty man. And so here's what I believe. I believe it's our responsibility as parents to take the children that God's rewarded us with. Are y'all hearing me? Amen. This is Sunday school. I'm trying not to preach, but take the children that God's rewarded us with and make them into a great force or great strength against the enemy to stand for Jesus Christ in the day in which we live. I don't understand why there's so many parents that are not raising their children for Jesus. I want to tell you what I see in the country. Here's what I see around the country. Not in every church, but in many churches that we go to. People say, what are you seeing, Brother Jason? Here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing carnality at a level in the church that it's never been at. And I believe with all my heart, listen, I'm not trying to discourage you. I want us to have a great time this morning. But I believe with all my heart that it's our families have opened up so much to the world. And we've let so much in under things that's not really sin. But because of those things, it's pulled us away from the Lord. I said this last time I was here, and I'll say it again because there may be some that wasn't here. People come up to me and they say, Brother Jason, what did y'all do? What did you and your wife do? How'd you do it? Let me say this. We never planned on having a singing family. Never. I didn't think we had it. I never even really thought about it. And one day I picked up the guitar and started playing and said, hey, kids, sing this song with me. And they started singing the song with me. And so then we sang a song in the church. And the kids, me and my wife, stood up here and sang and bellowed out something that sounded awful. And then the kids, they fell in on the chorus. And we sang 2 or 3 songs like that, 3 or 4 songs like that, where me and my wife sang, and then the kids fell in on the chorus. And then it got to where the kids learned a whole song. And then they started singing. And then the next thing you know, my wife, she bailed out. Amen. And she just sits over there and looks pretty now. And then I think I've sung one song on every CD, and usually they're pretty rough. So anyways, that's what the skip button's for. When you get to that one, then the kids learned how to harmonize. Somebody taught them harmony. And then churches are asking us to sing. And now here we are. We got 3 recordings. We never dreamed we'd be able to do that. God gave us all these instruments. The kids started learning. The boys flew past me. I showed them a few chords. Their friends showed them some chords. And they flew past me. And now I'm asking them, how do you do that? How do I do this? And, you know, it's like, Dad, just stay back there in the back and play quietly. You know what I mean? But we never planned on that. And here's what we did, Mom and Daddy, young adults. If you got kids today that live with you, I don't care, and they're like, let's just say 19 and lower. Can I see your hand? Would you stick your hand up? If you got kids, stick them up high. I want to see them. Okay. Now let me ask you this question: how many of you have kids that are? And I'm not saying it's too late for some of you older ones, but how many of you have kids that are? Your kids are 12, 10 years old and younger. Let me see your hand. Just put them up high. Very important time. I mean, very important. Let me ask you, how many of you have kids 6 years old and younger? Let me see your hand. Wow. You know, when these kids started singing, Grace started singing at about 3.5, 4 years old. The boys probably started singing. I don't know how old Luke was. What was Luke, Jody? 6, 7? Something like that. And here's what we did, Mom and Daddy. Y'all hearing me? No TV. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. That's devastating. Preacher, you got to be kidding me. I'm trying to raise them for God. I'm not trying to be mean this morning. Listen, no TV. And I mean none. You say, y'all, what do y'all do? Well, we watch Andy Griffin. That's TV. Well, you know what? It's a little video that we bought from the store that we know is clean. And so, we're in church, but they won't do it. But the boys can play the Darling Boys stuff that you hear on Andy Griffin. They play it. And you know, that's because they sit around and they that's only on weekends. Boy, that's mean, ain't it? Listen, I'm not trying to be rude. No internet. There's no internet in my house. Now, I can pull it up on my phone if we need to look up something. Or I can hook my computer up to my phone if we have to look up something. Because we live in that age. But very, very, very little, if any. Video games? Only on the weekend. And that's with a small amount of time. That's not all day on Saturday and all day on, you know, Sunday. Very little on Sunday, if any at all. Sometimes a little on Sunday afternoon. You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm trying to raise them for Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? No Facebook. No social network. Man, that's hard. You are ancient, preacher. You're like caveman age. Listen, they make their own decisions when they get older. When they move out of the house, they're going to make their own decisions. And the older ones are making their decisions now. But of course, they're doing things that Daddy wants them to do, Mama wants them to do. But can I say this to you with all the love and the concern that I can say it to you, Mom and Daddy, hear me. My children would not be doing what they're doing today if I had TV and internet and Facebook, video games, and all the social network and all that stuff. And I pulled it in my house and they had control and they could do whatever they wanted to do anytime they wanted to do it. We'd never be doing this. Because instead of that, here's what they did. They played an instrument. They sang a song. They listened to somebody else sing a song. They listened to the Rochesters or the McBrides or other good friends of ours out there in the country. And they listened to all that and they learned how to sing like that. And they, you know, they read a book or they did something. We laughed together, had a good time together. Listen, I hate the devil and I hate the world. And they do nothing but destroy you. So, Mom and Daddy, if I can help any of you, if I can help you with anything, you keep the world out of your home. And you love Jesus Christ. And you put your kids and your family around God and around God's people and under preaching every time the doors are opened. And then you let God do the rest. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. Amen. Let's sing another one. All right.
she's talking to her father in a house that once was a home. She said, my bills are coming due, Lord, and 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low. It says, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing, and child, I'll give